Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Joining us on the line, labor relations specialist, Cornell University, Art Wheaton, to talk a little bit about the Starbucks unionization effort. Art, thanks for being with us once again. You know, this is an ongoing push by workers at numerous Starbucks locations here in Western New York to unionize their individual stores. It's something that I think a lot of people are caught off guard by, right? It's in the service industry, things we look at typically as entry-level jobs, not really associating them with a union job. But is this necessarily out of the ordinary, looking around the country?
It's not typical, but it's not extraordinary. We already have Spot Coffee here in Buffalo that has a union, and in Ithaca, you have Guinea Coffee, also formed a union. And there are other restaurants or other in the industry that have some unions, but there's not a lot. So what's unusual is this is for Starbucks, and it would be their first three stores in the United States to be unionized.
Something that struck me, we spoke earlier, Art, with Peter DeJesus, the head of the AFL-CIO in Western New York. And in his interview with us, he said that we have to stop looking at the service field as entry-level jobs. Is that really what's at the heart of this? Because if making coffee is an entry-level, what is?
Well, I don't know. If it's a lot of stress to be on the front lines dealing in a customer-facing job in a pandemic when it could risk your life. And people at Starbucks don't tend to just say, give me a plain coffee and walk away. They want a lot of different things. It's a lot more complicated than what coffee used to be. So Starbucks prided themselves on saying, get a double latte with soy milk or something, that it's not just give me a cup of coffee. It's a lot more complicated than that. And people want it quick. And then they also want it while they're in the drive-through. So where's my cup of coffee? I gave it to you 1 minute ago. Where's my cup? So it's not an easy job. There's a lot of logistics involved with that. And it's a pandemic and you're facing the public.
The question becomes, you know, not so much is an entry-level job worthy of a union or something like that, because anyone can have a union. You grab your workers together. You have the right to organize. But I guess what is the benefit in a job like this where workers are a little more transitory, you know, maybe not on the job for years and years at a time? What is the benefit to employees in a position like this as opposed to, say, an auto plant or the medical field or teachers?
Well, I think you're finding that in all of those other fields that there's no longer the lifetime commitment to the job anymore as well. So you're seeing the social contract where you used to say, yeah, I'm going to get a job and I'm going to retire from General Motors and be there forever. And that's not always the case. And there's nothing to say that you can't enjoy the job of working as a barista for Starbucks. And it doesn't have to be a temporary job. They're getting education. If they can go to University of Arizona online for taking classes, and they can do other things as well. And some people just enjoy that type of work. We just tend to see ourselves in the United States not as who we are, but what is it that you do? And I think that's a judgment that a lot of people need to change. You do what makes you happy and what you can make a living for your family. And if it's being a barista or working for a coffee place and you enjoy it, by all means, make sure it pays a living wage.
One of the Starbucks workers that we talked with yesterday, where these union votes are underway, said that they want democracy in the workplace. Is that a sign that everything in our lives is political now?
Well, it's been that way for unions since day one. They're democratic trade unions in the United States. You vote for who your leader is, and you vote to have a say of whether you want to have a union or not have a union. So it's not Democrat-Republican. It is having the voice. So the unions provide a voice to be able to say, I'm afraid of my boss if I just say something that they may not like, I could get fired. But if you have a union, then you have a collective bargaining agreement, you have a grievance procedure, and you have to be fired for just cause. And it's a little bit more difficult to fire people if you have a union, because management has to document or explain why it is you were fired. Without a union, they can fire you because today's Thursday, you're fired.
Now's the time to do it, right? I mean, whether it's standing up for yourself at the workplace or going, you know, the route of a union, workers have more power now than seemingly ever.
Yep, and we are at the highest level of favorable union, so that people have a positive opinion of unions, since 1965. So we're at over 67% of people think that unions are good. And if you go to people between 18 and 34, that number goes up to 77%. So that we're at very favorable views of unions, and we're in a job market where you could quit that Starbucks job, walk across the street to McDonald's or Burger King or somewhere else, and make the same or more money with little or no training very quickly and get a better job. But you keep the job you have because you value or like the location, or you like the activities, or you like the people, and a union can help you secure better wages, benefits, and, like you mentioned, a say in the workplace. If you have an idea, you're not afraid of getting fired for suggesting an idea.
You spell out the benefits that a union can provide, but there's also, you know, the what can a union not do, right? Where you mentioned if you're working at Starbucks, you're fed up, you can go to any other one of these other locations, but it's, you know, it's not going to turn your workplace into, you know, the same as you making the same wages and benefits as a corporate lawyer or something like that, right? I mean, there are limits to how much a union can help in a particular workplace.
Absolutely, because the union doesn't want to put the company out of business, so you can only have so much in terms of wages and benefits for that industry can support. So you have unions in all types of different industries. So I think the people that are the writers and the producers of Hollywood movies that are part of a union make more than the people at Starbucks. It doesn't mean that you can't have a union in both. So you can certainly have very different pay scales based on the industry and the sector, because in the end, the union is there to help negotiate more of a share of the profits. So they think that the employees who create the profits deserve their fair share of the profits that are made in that location. So it's just the ability to have a group of people saying, you know what, if we made this much money, we think we deserve a little tiny bit more of that pie.
You know, Art, seems like there's a lot of labor unrest out there. I mean, look at the Mercy strike that we all just went through. Starbucks now is taking this unionization vote. Major League Baseball, there's a lockout in Major League Baseball for the first time in 26 years. But I'm guessing that one is at a whole different level.
Yeah, but it's a lot of the same sorts of things, that if you don't feel like your contributions as an employee or a worker are being valued and you're not being paid equally. And in the case of Starbucks or some other industries, like Kellogg's is also on strike. You had John Deere go out on strike. A lot of these places were working 80 hours a week. They had mandatory overtime. They're just working around the clock. And I think that was one of the major problems for Starbucks, is that they didn't have enough employees, so they're working all of these extra shifts. They may have taken the job saying, yeah, I don't mind working 20 or 30 hours a week, but now if I'm working 50 or 60, I didn't sign up for that. That's a lot of pressure and a lot more work.
Hey, Art, thanks for the time, as always. Art Wheaton, labor relations specialist over at Cornell University, joining us live.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.